We're holding Memtes Amud Beis by the Mishnah. We started learning yesterday about cases where a man is Mekadosh a woman, Amanas, not really Amanas. We had where he's Mekadosh her, for example, with this cup of wine, and it turns out it's not wine, it's honey, or various other things like that, where we said Einam Kodeshes, then it's not valid Kedushin because he misled her. We said Reb Shimon disagrees where it was Hitel the Shevach, where he misled her, but with something that it comes out better than what he offered to begin with. For example, he said he's Mekadosh her with silver, and he's actually Mekadosh her with gold. So now continuing on that theme, the Mishnah says, Amanas Shani Koyin. If he says I'm being Mekadosh you, I'm on condition, meaning on the understanding that I'm a Koyin. V'nimtza Levi, and it turns out he's a Levi. Levi v'nimtza Koyin, or the other way around. Nosin v'hu mamzer v'hu nosin. He's Mekadosh on the understanding that he's a mamzer, and it turns out that he's a nosin, and it turns out he's a mamzer, or vice versa. And here you have, by the way, there's a bit of an interesting discussion, which one is better and which one is worse. So one way of looking at it is the mamzer is worse because he's also to marry a regular Jewish woman, d'oraisa. Nosin is also only d'rabbanan. On the other hand, you could take the view that a mamzer at least comes from Jewish stock, and nosin doesn't. It comes from the givonim who are knanim, who were megayer and sort of joined the Jewish people. And that'll also now in the Mishnah over here on the face of it, each time we're giving the better one and then the worse one, for example, Kohen versus Levi. So therefore, here also you have different Jewish sides, whether you put Nosin first or whether you put Mamzer first, depending which one you say is better. Agoris Agra, for example, switches around the two that we have over here, Mamzer and Nimtza Nosin, Nosin and Nimtza Mamzer, and has it like that on the theory that the Mamzer is better than the Nosin. But I'm saying so there's two different ways of looking at it. One's d'oraisa, one's d'rabbanan. On the other hand, one is from tipak sheira and the other is from tipak silver. Similarly, ben ir v'nimtza ben krach. What if he's mekadosh on the understanding that he lives in a small city, in a small town, and it turns out he lives in a big city, where Rashi points out, first of all, the Gemara tells us in Ksuvos, living in big cities is harder on people. It's a very busy place. Things are more expensive over there. It's crowded. And there's other Rashi mentions in Ksuvos, other considerations. There's less fresh air, whereas when you live out in a small town, you have like larger gardens and parks and things like that.
And that's why he says it's fun.
Parnasa wise, so Rashi doesn't mention that point, but on the other hand, the Shita Lo Noda L'mi, I think it is, points out it's true. The flip side of it is in the city, for example, the Gemara tells us in Ksuvos, you can find a lot more things available than the small town. So yeah, so it cuts both ways. Or ben krach v'nimtza, or ben krach v'nimtza ben ir, or the other way around, that he claims to be from a big city, and it turns out that he's from a small city. And by the way, I mean, on the face of it, we're talking about that he's saying that he lives there right now, and therefore where he plans to live with her after he gets married. The Rashash points out it may not even be that. You may even have, for example, that he claims to have grown up in a big city versus a small town, where also, you know, people who grow up in the big city have a certain mentality that people in small towns don't, and vice versa. If he says on condition, on the understanding that my house is near the bathhouse, and it turns out that it's far away, or okay, or that it's far away and it turns out to be close, where, yeah, in those days, on the one hand, you want to be close to the bathhouse, it's more convenient. On the other hand, it means there's going to be a lot more noise and a lot more foot traffic and whatever in front of your house. He says on condition that he has a daughter or shifcha who's megudelis, and he doesn't. So we discussed in the Gemara yesterday a couple of possibilities of megudelis. One is that megudelis means an older daughter or an older shifcha who therefore can help around the house. The other possibility we said is it means not megudelis but gadelis, where Rashi and Tosfos argued what that means. Rashi says it means very, very important and very distinguished, like where people pay attention to what they say. And Tosfos said that Tosfos brought from Rabbeinu Hananel that it means that she's a hair braider, and therefore she goes around to people's houses to braid their hair, and therefore she's able to gossip about what's going on in the house. Anyway, ve'ein lo, and it turns out he doesn't. Or on the condition that he doesn't have, and it turns out he does have. And Amanascha Ainlai Bonin Vyeshloi, or Amanascha Yeshloi Vainloi, or he's on the condition that he doesn't have children, it turns out he does, or vice versa. So in all those cases, it's not considered, it's not kedushin. And when it comes to all of them, even if she says, you know what, I did actually mean to be makudesh to him even though he said differently, she still wouldn't be makudesh. There are mafoshim who learn that if she were to say mafedesh on mavato the tnai, then that would work. But we're talking about she's not mafedesh mavato the tnai. She just says, you know what, I found out differently, but nevertheless, I agree to the kedushin. Doesn't work because the fact is the kedushin were amanas such and such, and there was a tnai, and the tnai wasn't fulfilled. And with all these things, the same way, if she misled him, she claimed to be a Bas Koyen or a Bas Levi, and she's not, etc., etc. Okay, so this last piece of the Mishnah then was saying that that even though she's saying that I had in mind to be Mekudesh to him, nevertheless, that doesn't work. It's called Dvarim Shebelev Einem Dvarim. So now the Gemara is going to bring a couple of cases where we also see this point and where our Mishnah is going to be related to that. The Gemara says, "Hahu gavra dezabin l'nichse." There was a man who sold his nechosim, and Rashi says specifically, "Nechosim over here means his karka, his lands." Adaita l'meisak l'eretz Yisrael, with the plan to move to Eretz Yisrael. But in the end, there was an oinus, Rashi says, and he didn't end up being able to move to Eretz Yisrael. Now, Mefoshim explained that what we mean is. So Rashi stresses that he sold his karka, and the Rosh explains that's why, because it's one thing he sold his metaltlin, fine, a person might sell his metaltlin for many different reasons, but if he sells his karka, which is what he gets his parnosa from, the assumption would be that he's doing it because he wants to move out of town. With that said, though, there are mefoshim, I think the Rashba explains, that it would have to be, in order for the discussion in the Gemara over here to even begin, it would have to be some previous time, at least, he had said he plans to move to Eretz Yisrael. Now, at the time of the sale, he didn't mention that point. And therefore, the question is whether now, if he can't make it to Eretz Yisrael, after all, can he void the sale? If he never mentioned to begin with anything about going to Eretz Yisrael, then there's nothing to talk about. When he sold the karka, he didn't say specifically that I'm doing it with the plan of moving to Eretz Yisrael, meaning, in other words, Rashi says, if he had done that, then yes, he could void the sale because we can assume he certainly wouldn't want to live here without karka. He needs a source of parnosa, which he'll have from his karka. The Gemara has an expression in Yevamos that a person who has no karka is not a full-fledged person. So back in those days where it was common that everybody owned karka, so therefore, but here he didn't actually say anything at the time of the sale. So again, there's the idea that he said something previously, so people knew he planned to, but he didn't actually say it at the time of the sale. So Omar Rava, so Rava says, well, habi dvarim shabalev. Well, in that case, it's only dvarim shabalev. It's only in his mind that he's doing it on condition that he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael, or dvarim shabalev enim dvarim, and dvarim shabalev enim dvarim, so therefore it doesn't count, and therefore he can't void the sale. The sale remains intact. So the Gemara says, Menole the Rava ha. Where is Rava getting this point of dvarim shabalev enim dvarim? Ilema mehal detnan, are you going to say that we get it from the following Mishnah? It's a Braisa. There's parts of this in a Mishnah, but without the limud from the Pasuk. Anyway, Yakri Voiso, the Pasuk says about a korban near the beginning of Parashas Vayikra, Yakri Voiso, you should bring the korban. Malamacha Koifinoiso, this teaches us that if a person is required to bring a korban, then Beis Din forces him to do it. For example, he made a neder to bring a korban, and now he's not following through with the neder, so Beis Din will force him. You would think that means that even when he brings the korban, it's going to be baal korcho, it's going to be completely against his will. Talmud Lomer l'ritzono. The next word in the pasuk is l'ritzono, with his will. Ha-ketzad, so what does it mean? Is it they force him or is it l'ritzono? The famous thing, they force him until he says, I am willing. This is the famous thing that Amman points out in Hilchos Geirushin. Yes. In connection with the get, that I've quoted it innumerable times, that every year that Amman writes, every year deep down wants to fulfill the Ebishter's Ratzin, just as Yetzahara is getting in the way, so the Kofin removes that Yetzahara and allows his essential Ratzin to come through. The point is, Va'amai says, so the Gemara says, so now, if we're going to say Dvarim Shabalev Einem Dvarim, why would that work? After all, in his mind, he doesn't necessarily agree to bring the korban. He's only doing it because Beis Din is forcing him. So if you're going to tell me dvarim shabalev, so you're going to say that Rava is learning from there dvarim shabalev elalav mishum damin dvarim shabalev enim dvarim. You're going to say that shows that dvarim shabalev enim dvarim. We don't care that he still thinks, you know what, I really don't want to bring this korban. I'm doing it only because Beis Din forces me. That would show that dvarim shabalev enim dvarim. The problem with that is v'dilma shiny hossam. Maybe it's different over there. Da'anan sadi nichalev kapara. We in effect are edim that he does want the kapara. After all, he is chayav a korban. He does want to have the kapara for his aveda, so for whatever it is that he's bringing the korban for. So therefore, so you could say that once Beis Din forces him, then then like the Rambam says, it brings out that essential rotzen of his. That wouldn't show though in a case like here, what we're talking about, him selling his nechasim where there's no mitzvah involved and there's no kapara involved, that we should say dvarim shabalev enim dvarim. Not necessarily. Not necessarily is that a valid proof. So Elami Sefer. Rather, maybe we can prove from the Sefer of the same Braisa, where it continues. You find the same thing as far as a get or as far as freeing an Eved, where you have a person who is required al pi halacha to divorce his wife. So we learned in Ksubas various examples of that. For example, you have one example is a mukesh shchin, somebody who's suffering from boils, where his wife can say mo salai, it's disgusting for me to live with such a person, and bichlal for him to continue having relations with her is going to be dangerous to his health. So that would be one example. There's a few other examples where it mentions in a Mishnah over there where he's doing he has some kind of medical condition or he does some kind of work that is extremely disgusting, and therefore she can say it smells bad or whatever. And as far as Shechurer Avodim, for example, you have, we learned in Gittin, you have the case where we freed half the Eved, and now Beis Din forces him to free the other half so the Eved can get married. We had examples where he sold his Eved to somebody in Chutz Laaretz, where we said we penalize him and make him buy him back and free him. Because in Chutz Laaretz, he's chayiv in fewer mitzvahs, because you have all the mitzvahs at Lois Baretz that don't apply yet. Anyway, so you have these various cases, and the Braisa says that they're also koifenosei actually of a roitzani, that they can force him till he says roitzani. So va'amai, now there's no kapara. Va'amai, now why would we say that works? After all, in his heart, he doesn't want to do it. And so the fact that that works should show that koifenosei should show that dvarim shabalev enim dvarim, like what like Rashi is saying. But again, the Gemara says not necessarily. Maybe it's different over there. The fact is, there is a mitzvah to listen to what the Chachamim say. The Chachamim say in these kinds of cases, he has to divorce his wife, or he has to free his eved. So again, when they're forcing him, they're bringing out they're getting rid of his yetzahara and bringing out his essential will to follow what the Torah says and to follow what the Chachamim say, and therefore, so there we could say dvarim shabalev enim dvarim. Not necessarily in our case where he's selling his nechasim, which is a purely voluntary thing, that we should say dvarim shabalev enim dvarim.
No proof.
Ela amar Rabbi Yosef mehocha. Rather, Rabbi Yosef says we can prove it from the following Mishnah, from our Mishnah. Hamakadosh Seisha, but Omer, or not really our Mishnah, but a further on Mishnah, which we're gonna have later on in our Masechta. Hamakadosh Seisha, but Omer, a man is makadosh a woman without any tnai, and then later on he says, Kesover Hayisi Shehi Kehenis. I was under the impression that she was a bas koyan, and I was makadosh her with that understanding. Vahari Levia. It turns out that she's a bas lady. Levia v'nimtza kehenis. Ania. I thought when I was makadosh her, she was poor. Vahari Yashira. It turns out she's rich. Ashira vahari Yania. Mekudeshes. In all these cases, she is mekudesh. Mipnei shaloi hitatu, because she didn't mislead him. If she had told him I'm a bas koyan and he was makadosh on that understanding, then we would say the kedushin avoid. But because over here it wasn't, he assumed on his own that she's a bas koyan, and but she didn't tell him any such thing, then therefore the kedushin a valid kedushin.
Also, I would think it doesn't make a difference what she, because it goes according to her husband.
No, because we said in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, we said v'chein hi she'itatu. We said in our Mishnah, if she claimed to be a Bas Koyin and he was Makadosh without understanding, and it turns out she's a Bas Levi, then the Kedushin is void. The reason why in that case, later on, in Daf Samach Beis, that it's valid Kedushin, not because it's her versus him, but because she didn't mislead him. The Mishnah mentions the same kind of thing. She says, I accepted the Kedushin on the understanding that he's a Koyin. It turns out I didn't realize he's a Levi or vice versa. Fine, but he didn't say anything one way or the other, so therefore that's it. So that would show. So Va'amai, now we have to ask, why should those kedushin be chal? Hakama kesavur ha'yisi. After all, he's saying, I thought that she was a bas koyin, etc. So shouldn't we say that the fact, therefore, he didn't have in mind to do kedushin under these circumstances? Ella, it must be mishum damin and dvarim shabalev enim dvarim. Obviously, this is an example of the application of dvarim shabalev enim dvarim. And in fact, the Rashba says, fine. I mean, he didn't say beforehand that he wants to be Makadisher on condition that she's a Kohenes or whatever, otherwise it would have come out earlier. Fine, but the Rashba says, at least we should be Choshish that these Kedushin are Chal. And it's going to be a Suffolk Kedushin with everything that comes of that. The Mishnah just says, Mekudeshes, meaning that's a full-fledged Kedushin. So therefore, that implies that that implies that we're not even paying attention to any Dvorim Shebalev at all. With that, the Shita Lenoidele Mi actually disagrees with that and says, we are talking about that previously he had said, I would like to marry a Bas Koyin, or I'd like to marry a rich girl or whatever. So now he didn't mention it at the time of Kedushin, so we can call it Dvarim Shebalev. This is similar to what he says in our case over here of the guy selling his Nechosim, where he had to have previously at some time stated that he plans to move to Eretz Yisrael. Anyway.
And saying once, question of that, say
Koyin. Yeah, that's the question. But if he hadn't said anything at all, then for sure not. Yeah. That's how the Shita Lenoidele Mi says. Again, the Rashba disagrees and says even if he never said before, then you could still say the fact that we don't say there's even a suffix in the Kedushin implies yet. So that would show Dvarim Shebalev Enim Dvarim. But Omalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, that's not a solid proof. Duma Shiny Hosam Dula Chumra. You know what? In that case, the Kedushin, maybe in fact it is a suffix Kedushin. Maybe we mean that the Kedushin are Chal only Lachumra. So therefore, in other words, you would have a Kedushay Suffolk. So therefore, she's going to need a get from him. But if somebody else comes in and is Makadisher, you're going to need a get from him as well. So how do you know from that Mishnah that even where it's Lakula, like in this case, we're allowing the buyer to keep these Nechosim that were sold to him because Dvarim Shebalevin and Dvarim, where's a proof for that? Rather, Abaya says, I'll bring a proof to what Rava is saying from here. Our Mishnah, the Kulam, where we said in all the cases where he said, I'm a Kaddish, I'm a Nastat, she's a Koyan, it turns out she's a Levia, etc., etc. So, the Kulam, by all of them, Afpisha Omra, even though the woman says, the Libi Hoyle is Skadish Loy, I intended to be Makudish to him, Afpikain, Aina Makudish, nevertheless, she's not Makudish. Now, Vamai, now why not? Hoka Amr Belibi Hoya. She says, I was thinking in my mind, I'm willing to be Miskaddish to her, whether what he's saying is true or not. And again, why wouldn't we say that at least there's a Suffolk Kedushin? So obviously, Dvarim Shebalev Enim Dvarim, and therefore we completely ignore what she's thinking in her mind. And after all, Rashi says here it's a kula because you're saying Eina Makudeshes, meaning that she can freely go and be Makudesh to anybody else in the whole world. So therefore, that's a kula, and we still see the Mishnah is saying that. So that shows Dvarim Shebalev, Einam Dvarim. But the Gemara says still that's not a solid proof. The Dilma Shiny Hossam, maybe it's different over there. De Kivin de Asne, once he made a Befeder Shetnai, he said, I'm marrying her, I'm a Nas, that I'm a Koyan, or that I'm a Levi, etc. Lav kol kamina de akra lo litnoi. She doesn't have the ability on her own to take away that tonight. He said, I'm the Kaddish, I'm a Nas, that I'm a Koyan. She didn't say anything at the time, you know what, I'm willing to be the Scottish anyway. Later, he gives her the Kedushin. Later on, it turns out that he's not a Koyan, he's a Levi or whatever. Now she's saying, you know what, I would have been willing to be the Kurdish to him anyway. That's not, it's already too late, maybe. Maybe therefore we say, because it's too late, therefore maybe we would say it's not, therefore she doesn't have the ability to undo his tonight. But here we're talking about it was his own tonight. He himself is selling his own nechosim, planning to move to Eretz Yisrael. So you could talk about, therefore, that, so maybe therefore his Dvarim Shebalev can work to undo his tonight. In other words, again, he's saying, I'm selling my property. He didn't specify that's to go to Eretz Yisrael, but now he's the one who originally sold the property. Maybe he's also the one who has the ability to undo the Tanai. Tosfos, by the way, Uliyahu points out another thing before we even got into this whole thing of Dvarim Shebalev and Dvarim. Now, let's consider, what if he had said, Beferush, I'm selling my property because I plan to go to Eretz Yisrael. So now, if he doesn't manage to make it, then it would be Bottle. Tosfos says, what happened to Tanai Kofel? We're going to learn later on that you need to say, if I go to Eretz Yisrael, this should be a valid sale. And if I don't, it shouldn't be, etc. So first, Tosfos brings from the Rashbam that you only need a Tanai Kofel by Isur Veheter. In fact, so you have the Rashbam brings it in connection with the halachas of Lulav and Esrog. So very much very much as Man Grama. So we know that on the first day of Sukkot or the first 2 days, whatever, you have to give Matana Manas Lahachzir. So if the other guy doesn't return and he's not Yotze, now you don't have a Tanai Kofel over there. You don't necessarily say, if you give me this Esrog back, then it's yours, and if you don't, then it's not. So the Rashbam learns that the whole concept of Tanai Kofel would only apply by things by Kiddushin and Gerushin, only by matters of Isser Veheter, not by Dinim Ominous. Tosfos asks, and the Rambam similarly asks on a similar shitta that was prevalent in his time, that no, how could you say that? Fact is that where do we learn Tanai Kofel is from Tanai Bnei God or Bnei Reuven? There it was a matter of Mammon. So rather, Tosfos says that no, there are certain things you don't need a Tanai Kofel because it's very clear, a non-sadi, that he's doing it mostly without understanding. So the example of the Esrog would be one of them. The example where the person is selling all his karka is another one. Where do you need a Tanai Kofel? Where it's not clear, where it's not 100% obvious that he's doing it only based on a Tanai, so then you need the Tanai Kofel. But where it's clearly obvious, you're giving your Esrog to the other person and you want it back afterwards. You're selling your property and you want it, so that you want it back if you don't end up moving. Then we don't say you'd need it. Then, even though it's dinim ominous, and even though Tanai Kofel does apply by dinim ominous, you wouldn't say that you need that. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So you can't necessarily prove from our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, you have that after the Kiddushin, she's not the one who did the Maisa Kiddushin. She's only the one who received it. And now she's saying, I wouldn't have cared about the Tanai. That's different than here, where the one who's selling is the one who's actually making the Tanai. So the Gemara says, Ela Amar, Abchir Ba'Oven. Rather, Abchir Ba'Oven says, we can prove what Rava is saying, about Dvarim Shebalev Einim Dvarim. It's true. We can't prove it yet. We'll prove it from an actual case. Uvda Habda Beir of Chista. Such a case happened in the yeshiva of Rav Chista. Again, the same kind of thing. A person sold as the chosim, planning to move to Eretz Yisrael, etc. But Rav Chista Beir Rav Huna. Rav Chista in turn went to the yeshiva of Rav Huna to find out, to discuss with Rav Huna, what's the deal? Do we say Dvarim Shebalev Einim Dvarim or not? Or Pashtua Meha. And they answered Dvarim Shebalev and Dvarim based on the following Mishnah in Masechta Me'ilah. Now, we learned a few days ago that when it comes to Me'ilah, you have the unique thing that you have that you don't have in almost Kol HaTorah Kula, where if Me'ilah is, where if you send a Shliach to do something which ends up constituting Me'ilah, not usually we would say the Meshaleach is the one who committed the Avera, because Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, as we learned at the beginning of our Perek, but by Me'ilah, it would be the Shliach who committed Me'ilah, provided that he does exactly what the Meshaleach said. So the Mishnah says over there, he tells his shliach, go bring me some of such and such from the window. For example, there was money there on the windowsill, and it was money of Hekdesh. The Balabayas forgot that it's money of Hekdesh, and he tells the shliach, go get some of that money. Or he tells him, go get me some money from the dluskma, which is a kind of bag or sack, and go use that money to buy something. So the heavy loy, and the shliach brings him exactly where he said from. Even though later on the balabais says, actually, I didn't mean that he should bring from this one of Hekdesh. I meant, for example, from a different windowsill or a different money bag where there was chulin money. So he told him, bring me from the windowsill. The guy brought from the windowsill, but he didn't chaps if there were two windowsills over there, and one had Hekdesh money and one had chulin. So even though the Balabai says, I had in mind only a different one, Because he brought him from the one, from the type of thing that he told him, Balabais Moal, then the Balabais is the one who committed Me'ila, as is the usual rule with Me'ila, where we say over there that what the Shliach did is counted toward the Balabais. So sorry, I got it backwards before. Usually we said before at the beginning of the Perek, usually the Shliach would be the one responsible by forget about changing. With most Averas, we said Ein Shliach the Dvar Avera. So we said if Reuven tells Shimon, for example, go kill somebody or go do such and such an Avera, we said Shimon's gonna be the one who is gonna be chayev because Divra Adav, Divra Tamid, Divra Mishon. But we said when it comes to Me'ila and a couple of other examples, then we had the rare case where the Meshaleach is chayev. So here, because he didn't change anything, then therefore the Meshaleach is chayev. So va'amai, now we could say why. Haka'ama b'libi. After all, he says, I was thinking I meant a different money bag or a different whatever. El alav mishum ramin and dvarim shabalev and dvarim. Evidently, this must be an example of dvarim shabalev and dvarim. So that would prove Rava's point. But the Gemara says even that is not a solid proof. The Dilma shiny hosim to the mifter nafshim a korban kaosim. Maybe the Balabais is lying because he wants to be potter from a korban meila. So therefore, maybe we don't trust him to say that I meant to take from another person. If we would believe him, if we could assume that we could believe him, then maybe this person we see he was going to the trouble. He's really trying to get to Eretz Yisrael. There was just some kind of onus that he couldn't make it. So therefore we have no reason to think that he was lying, but Pashtus is telling the truth, that he really did plan to go. So how is that a valid proof from that case in Me'ila? But the Gemara says, no, because you don't need you, no, because Havel and Lameima Mezen Hava, because very simple, if he wanted to be potter from a korban, he doesn't have to claim I meant a different money bag. He could instead say that I was amazing. Meaning, Tosva says, that if he says it like this, if he says get from the money bag, and the guy comes back with money from that money bag, and it turns out it was hektish, and he said he's claiming I meant a different money bag with chulin, you could say maybe not. But if he says mezid hayisi, that's a more believable claim. There's less ramos in it, and then that would be.
Who wants to say that I was Moel Behekdush,
but fine. Nevertheless, Tosfos also brings, because in general, we say that when a person says Mezid or Yisi, then it is generally a more trustworthy claim than any other, because a person knows what his own mentality was. If it was just a matter of he wanted to patter himself from the korban, then he could have said Mezid no Yisi, and we would believe him. In fact, Tosfos is saying basically that he has kind of a migri. If he says I meant a different money bag, so therefore he has a migri. He could have said we could believe him on that because he could have said Mezid no Yisi. And then the other possibility is that in general, Mezid Yisi is a more believable claim anyway. Because after all, again, you know, he told the Tosfos read explains, look, he told the Shliach, bring me from the window or bring me from the money bag. He himself knows that he has multiple windows or multiple money bags or whatever. If he really meant the right one, we would expect him to specify, go bring from the money bag that's in such a corner or whatever. The fact that he doesn't makes it less believable that now he's saying, I actually meant a different one, because how's the Shliach supposed to know? As opposed to him saying, Mezid Yisi is a stronger claim. So either, again, like Tosfos says, he has a migui, or bechlal, just a claim of mezid is anyway a stronger claim.
So we're not making the shliach chayv, we're just making potter. Right?
He's making the shliach potter, because the whole concept of me'ila only applies if somebody was shoyger. If the balabais, who to begin with told him to take the money, is mezid, then there's no me'ila in the first place. So therefore, so in other words, so the Gemara is answering that yes, Rav Chiya bar Ovin's proof. Rav Huna's proof in the case involving Rav Chista is a valid proof on the face of it, because if it's just a matter of he wanted to patter himself, he didn't have to do it by saying I meant a different money bag and then put the onus on the shliach. Instead, he could say Mezid Yisi, and then there's no Me'ila here at all.
That means
Dvarim Shabalei Ben and Dvarim. The fact that we don't believe him to say that. Yeah. However, the Gemara says not necessarily because you could say. You could answer loy of an inish to mashvi nafshi rishia. Because a person, like you just said, a person is not going to make himself a Rasha. A person is not going to claim, I was amazed, making himself a blatant Rasha. So maybe it's not such a believable claim. But the Gemara answers back, no, because there's a different possibility. Havel Eloyman, this is Kauti. He could have said, you know what, before the Shliach actually spent the money, I remember that they're Hekdesh. The Tanan, and in fact, we learn in a Mishnah, the Tanya, really, it's a Braisa, Gizber, Nizker Balabais, Nizker Shliach. What happens if before the money is spent, the Balabais remembers that this money is Hekdesh, but the Shliach did not know about it? Shliach Moal, in that case, the Shliach is the one who committed Me'ilah, and the Balabais would be Potter, because at this point, it's not a Shoving for the Balabais anymore. The Shliach is going to be Chayev. Now, if the Balabais had not remembered, then as we learned before, this is one of those cases where we don't say, Shlucha Shalom Kamosa, even though it's Ledvar Avera, and the Balabais will be Chayev. But now, when the Balabais becomes Chayev, then it becomes Potter, because he said, because he remembered, now the Shliach becomes Chayev.
But for the Shliach, nothing changed. Everything was the same.
For the Shliach, nothing changed. But nevertheless, before you had that, before you had the Balabais was Shogig, But now the Balabais is not Shogig anymore. So we're not talking about to begin with he was Mazid. We're talking about he was truly Shogig at the beginning, but then he remembered while the Balabais was on the way.
Let's go chase him.
If he can chase him, fine. But if he can't, then not. But in fact, Rashi elsewhere explained that once the Balabais remembers, he doesn't want the Shliach to spend the money. So he's Mevatel the Shlichus. So therefore, the guy's not doing it. Now, he may not have a way of informing him that he's Mevatel the Shlichus, because you know, nowadays, I guess he could call him on his phone. But then, you know, you didn't have that then. But nevertheless, the point is that therefore you could say that so now, in other words, again, he has a migui. So now when he says, I meant, you know, now, for example, when he says, I meant for him to get from a different bag, he has a migui, like Tosfos's first explanation, or it's a more believable claim in the second explanation, to say that I remembered before the Shliach spent the money that it is in fact Hekdesh and that he shouldn't be spending it. And therefore, so if he wanted, he could claim that. Therefore, we could say that now when he says, so again, because he could claim that, therefore maybe we could also believe him when he says, I meant for him to take from a different bag. That doesn't necessarily show that usually dvarim shabalev einim dvarim in that particular case where he says he's saying that I wanted to that I meant for him to take from a different bag, and we're saying we ignore that. We say because the shliach brought from the bag that contained hekdesh, and he did tell him bring from the bag, therefore he's chayim. What we're saying is you can't say that it's just the Balabais is saying that because he's lying and he wants to get out of bringing a korban. Because instead, if he wanted to do that, he could have claimed, I remembered before the Shliach spent the money. That would be a valid, believable claim. So now when he's saying that instead, now when he's saying instead, I meant for him to take from a different bag, The fact is, we still say dvarim shabalev einim dvarim, and we make the Balabais and not the shliach chayev. If he says, in fact, I did, you're right, I didn't remember that it was hektish until afterwards, but I meant for him to take from a different bag, dvarim shabalev einim dvarim. So therefore, it is a valid proof. So we do, after all, have a valid proof for what Rava said, that dvarim shabalev einim dvarim.
That money cannot be changed in his mind, say, well, I'll switch that money to Hekdesh money.
If he realizes, then yes. If he realizes before the money was spent, then yes, there is a way, actually, instead of, he may not be able to inform the Shliach, because the Shliach is far away, but yes, he could say, I'm machalal that money, wherever it is, on other money that I have in my house, yeah. Okay. Here's another example. Here's another case here's more cases of people who sold their property intending to go to Eretz Yisrael. There was a man who sold his nechosim planning to move to Eretz Yisrael. Solik, this time he actually did go to Eretz Yisrael, but he couldn't manage to live there. Rashi says he couldn't make a living, or he couldn't find a good place to live, or whatever it is, so he ended up returning. Now he wants his nechosim back. Rava says, called the solik adai to the meidu. When a person goes up to Eretz Yisrael, he intends and sells his property. Before he does that, he's planning to live there. Vahala it dalei. The fact is, he didn't manage to live there. Therefore, he can cancel the sale. He could cancel. Provide, in other words, here we'd have to be talking about, evidently, that he did say beforehand that so before we were talking Dvarim Shebalevim and Dvarim. Here we'd have to talk about that he actually said Befeirush, I'm selling my property because I'm gonna go to Eretz Yisrael. But nevertheless, so that's Rashi says that clearly. Purishle, he clearly said that I'm doing it. But here the difference is the other guy is claiming, look, you did go to Eretz Yisrael. Your tenai was you're gonna go to Eretz Yisrael. You went. So not my problem that you couldn't manage to live there. But Rava is saying, no, going to Eretz Yisrael implies being able to live there. There's a story in Sephardic Chassidim where this a chassid goes and then moves to Eretz Yisrael and then has a hard time of it over there. So he's thinking of returning to Chutz La'aretz. So he goes to his Rebbe. I don't remember who his Rebbe was. And his Rebbe tells him, evidently you didn't find favor in the eyes of Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, Eretz Yisrael would find favor in your eyes. In other words, if Eretz Yisrael appreciated you being here, then you would find it possible to live here. So evidently, yeah. So and the guy took that to heart and remained in Eretz Yisrael. But here in our story over here, he came back to Chutz La'aretz. Anyway, so Rava is saying here, he did Befeirush say that he's selling in order to move to Eretz Yisrael. So now the other guy can claim, the buyer can claim, fine, but you went to Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, though, the fact is he didn't manage to settle in Eretz Yisrael, and that's included in the Tanai. So therefore, he could take back the sales, and he is entitled to reimburse the guy the money and get back his properties.
No, I guess somewhere it speaks about how long time is.
How long? Yeah, it's not talking over here, but yeah, it would have to be. Ikka d'amri. I skipped a couple of lines. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, he could take back the sales. I was about to actually. Yeah. Okay. So ikka d'amri. Another version is that Rava said the opposite. After all, he said that he's planning to go to Eretz Yisrael. V'hasolikle, he did in fact go to Eretz Yisrael. He managed to settle over there. According to the second version, we wouldn't care. Because he said it's aldas to go up. He didn't say aldas to live there. So therefore, we can only go based on what he actually verbally said. He said to go up. So therefore, in the second version, then we don't care about the fact that he couldn't live there. Another example. Another person was planning to move to Eretz Yisrael and sold his properties. And again, he said befeirush that he's going to do it. So he said, so he didn't make a tenai. He just said that I'm planning to move to Eretz Yisrael, and because of that, I'm selling his properties. In the end, he changed his mind and decided not to move to Eretz Yisrael. So now what happens? Amar Rav Ashi, Yiboi Solik. So Rav Ashi says, look, you know, if he wanted, he could go up. So he doesn't have the ability to be mevatel the sale just because he changed his mind. Before we were talking about there was an oinus where he couldn't go. Now we're talking about he stam changed his mind. That's not a valid reason. If he had made a tenai, I'm selling this on condition that I go to Eretz Yisrael, sure, no tenai, no sale. But here there was no tenai. There was a gilui das. He did say I'm doing it with the intention of moving to Eretz Yisrael. But that's not strong enough to undo it if he changes his mind on his own. Ikadamri, another version is that Avashi said that e boy loy solik. He said it as a rhetorical question. If he wanted, couldn't he go up? In other words, so the Gemara asks, so my benai, what's the difference between these two lashonis? Either way, it sounds like Rav Ashi is saying it's completely in his hands to decide to go up to Eretz Yisrael. It's his problem if he didn't. So why do we have one version where Rav Ashi said it as a statement and the other one as a rhetorical question? And the answer is, Ikka benai de sialad oinsa ba'urcha. What happens if an onus developed on the road? Meaning, in other words, for example, so let's say he hears before he left Bavel, he hears that there are robbers on the road. So Nessa, now it's dangerous to go that way. According to the first Lushan, we still say he can't undo his sale. Because what is Rav Ashi saying? E boy, have a solid. If he wants, he could go up. Meaning, fine, he may not be able to go up individually because he'd be in danger from the robbers, but he can always join a caravan. They can find a shayara. He can find a caravan that's going with that. According to the second Lushan that he's saying, E boy, loy solid. Couldn't he freely go on his own if he wants to? That would imply, it doesn't say on his own, but whatever. Couldn't he freely go if he wants to? Implying that he could go no matter what. There's no impediment at all to him going. So in the second Lushan, if there's any kind of impediment, for example, that he can't go alone because of the danger of robbers, then that would be enough to break the sale. So Tosfos also adds, you know, before when we talked about Dvorim Shebalev and Dvorim, so if we... So we would have to talk about, when we talked about before, an onus in Rava's case. So there's two possibilities. If we say, depending on the two lashonis over here in the Gemara, the onus could be, again, that there was an onus where on the road it's going to be dangerous to travel, or the onus could be that there could be an onus that even with a caravan it would be dangerous to go. Let's say, for example, war broke out or something. We could say, conceivably, in that original case, the onus could have been something where even with a caravan he wouldn't be able to go, and then we would still discuss the question, since he didn't say that he's planning to sell because he's going to Eretz Yisrael. Then we say Dvarim Shebalei Veinim Dvarim.
Sometimes it works.
So depending on what kind of onus we're talking about, yeah, depending on the true lashonis over here, yeah.
There's no. Right now, we have no proof.
We have a proof. Dvarim Shebalei Veinim Dvarim. We proved from the case of Me'ilah. In these other cases, we're saying where he did specify, but he didn't actually make a t'nai. So we have a few different cases where he didn't specify at all. Then we say Dvarim Shebalei Veinim Dvarim. Then you have where he specified, but he didn't make a t'nai of it. So then it depends whether that if so then he changed his mind, but what did he change his mind because of? Is there some onus on the road, or is it that he just decided on his own, you know what, forget about it, I don't want to go live there? And then based on that is going to be the two different lashonis, whether he can undo the sale. Then you have the third case, you have the middle case where he went and he came back, where there you have also the two different lashonis. And what Rava says, whether we would say it's enough that he went there and that makes that the t'nai there was an actual t'nai. So now the t'nai has been actually accomplished, or does the t'nai include that he also is going to actually be able to settle there? Mishnah says.
So
you have these are broad in halacha, but what the details are, I haven't looked at.
Usually,
if you make a t'nai, obviously it's one thing. If you don't make a t'nai, though, then in general we say dvarim shebalei veinim dvarim. Okay, Mishnah says ha'omer l'shluchet seiv kaddish li'isha plonis v'makom plonim. A man says to his shliach, go be makadish me such and such a woman in this particular place. And the shliach goes and is makadish or someplace else. So the kedushin is not valid because he changed from what the mishaleach told him. The mishaleach may have a particular reason. Rashi says, for example, that he has friends who live in this place, let's say, so that way, for example, in other words, the Mishaleach may say, you know what, in this place, what's going to happen? You're going to be Makadish this woman for me. Now, if it's someplace else, people may go start telling you bad things about her. And therefore, you're going to think to yourself, maybe I don't want to do the Shlichus or something. But if you have, but in this particular place, I have friends. If some people start talking negatively against her, my friends will be moicha and say, you don't know what you're talking about. Or what about her? What about me, for example? Sorry, I got it wrong. What about me, for example? So I want you to go to Mimkadish her in Crown Heights. In Crown Heights, I have friends. If anybody starts telling her, this is a no good nick, why do you want to be Makudish to her? My friends will speak up in my defense. But if you go on Makadish on Flatbush, I don't have any friends over there. So then if people start telling her that guy is a no good nick, then she may believe it. So therefore, he has a kapeda that it should be done in such and such a place. So Einam Kodeshes, Harehi B'mokim Ploini, but if he tells her, if he tells the Shliach, you can find her in such and such a place, the Kitcha Mokim Acha, and he is Makadish, or in another place, that's not a Kepeda, that's Mara Mokim Huloi, and therefore Harehi B'mokodeshes, then it's a valid Kedusha. And the Gemara points out, it's Tanan Namu Gabi Gittin. We have a similar Mishnah when it comes to Gittin, which we learned in Masechta Gittin. A man says to his Shluchim, who are also the Edim, give the get to my wife in such a place, and they gave it to her elsewhere, possible, then it's possible, because again, they did differently than what he says, and he's makbid to be Megadisher Davka in a certain place. For example, let's say because in a certain place he figures nobody knows him, therefore there's less of an embarrassment to him, whatever it is. But if he just tells them you can find her in such a place, and he gives it to her elsewhere, kosher, then it's kosher because he wasn't makbid on it. Now, why does the Tana have to tell us this din by Gittin as well as by Kiddushin? Once we say it by one, we should be able to learn from the other. So the Gemara says, it's tzricha. We need to be told it by both. De'i ashm inan Gabi Kiddushin, if we were only told it in connection with Kiddushin, you would say, B'mokim de la kurva ka'osi, because he wants to bring the woman closer to him. So he's makbid again, like we said, he wants it to be in a place where he figures, Bahai astra rachmuli, in such a place, they like me. Mali mili ilavai, they're not gonna fill her up, they're not gonna tell her bad things against me. Mimali literally means to fill up. On the side of here, it brings from a different gear. So Mimala li, which would mean to speak, like me Yamalo Gurus Hashem. Whatever. The point is, they're not gonna be talking badly about me. Bahai Astra Sonuli, but in this other place, they don't like me. Mimali Mili Ilavai, and therefore they're gonna talk badly against me. So therefore he davka wants the kedushin to take place in such another place. Abu Gabi Gitin, but when it comes to a get, little achuka call, see, is anyone coming to distance her from him? Maybe he doesn't care. Let them talk badly about me. Who cares? I'm divorcing her anyway. So therefore we have to be told by Gerushin, there's also that beta. But if we were only told it by Gitin, you would say, in one place he doesn't care about his bizoyan, but there are other places where he's makbid because people know him over there. But by Kedushin, maybe he doesn't care. There's no bizoyan. Therefore we need to be told in both cases that the same din applies.
Same thing implies that
if he tells the shliach be makadisher or be magadisher and sends it to the place, it has to be dafke in that place. Okay, Mishnah says hamakadisher se isha manas she'ein alei nedarim. A man is makadisher woman with the understanding that she doesn't have any outstanding nedarim, where nidra inri nefesh, the kind that are going to where as we learned about a nidra, as we learned about a nedarim rather, where it's going to prevent, for example, that she won't eat meat or she won't drink wine or she won't wear certain kinds of jewelry or whatever. The nimtzu alei nedarim, and it turns out that she does have such a nedarim, einam kodeshes, then it's not valid kedushin because the tanai hasn't been fulfilled as usual. The Rambam learns that he could be moichel the Tanai, and the kedushin will be chal. The Raib disagrees and says, if you want to be moichel the Tanai, you need edim, and the Rashba holds you can't be moichel the Tanai at all. So according to the Rashba, even if he says afterwards, you know what, fine, she has nedarim, I don't care. Nevertheless, it wouldn't work. According to the Rambam, fakir, he could be mivatel the Tanai altogether, and according to the Raib, he would need edim. To in front of whom to be mivatal the tanai. Continues the Mishnah. Konsastam, what if to begin with he married her without any kind of tanai? The nimtzu alei nedarim, and it turns out that she has certain kinds of nedarim. Teitza shalei b'ksuba, then he can divorce her without a ksuba because it's true the kedushin were chal because he didn't make a tanai. On the other hand, he can say, as we learned in ksubas, I don't want a woman who habitually makes nedarim, and it's going to be hard on me that every time I need to be made for them. So therefore, he has a valid reason to say that I wouldn't have been makadishu under those conditions. So the kedushin are chal, but nevertheless, he's still able to divorce her without a ksuba. Similarly, amanas she'en alei mumin, if he marries her, is makadishu on condition that she has no mumin, v'nimtzu b'mumin, and it turns out she has certain kinds of mumin, then the kedushin is not valid for the same reason because he's makbid on it. Konsastam, and again, if he marries her without knowing one way or the other, a nimtzu bam mumin, and it turns out she has mumin, teitza shalei b'ksuba, then again, he can divorce her without a ksuba because he can say, I don't want a balas mumin. Shekola mumin a poisim b'koyin and poisim menoshim. The rule is any mumin that passels a koyin from serving in the besmikdash also passels a woman in the sense that he can say, I don't want this kind of mum, and therefore he has a valid reason to break the kedushin or to divorce her, as the case may be. We had learned in Ksubas, there's actually, besides the ones that apply to koyanim, there's a couple of particular ones that apply to women. But that's the basic rule. Now the Gemara points out, Tanan nami gabi Ksubas, ki hai gavim. We learned the exact same Mishnah in Ksubas. So why are we repeating it here in kedushin? So hocha kedushin it's tzrichalei, because here mainly the Tana needs to tell us to us in connection with kedushin. V'tana ksubas otu kedushin. So by the way, the Mishnah also mentions about the teitz shalei b'ksuba, even though it's not really relevant to our mesecta, because once we're mentioning the detail that applies as far as kedushin, then incidentally we also mention ksubas. There, it's the other way around. The Mishnah is mainly telling us dinim of ksubas because it's masechta ksubas to return a kedushin onto ksubas. There, it also mentions the concept that the kedushin are not valid if he made the tnai in the first place because it's mentioning ksubas. So incidentally, it mentions kedushin as well. The Ramban actually asks in that case, why is the Mishnah in the exact same wording in both places? In our Mishnah, it should say the Kedushin first, as it does, but in Ksubas, it should mention the concept of Ksuba first, Tetz Shoy B'Ksuba, and only then mention the Kedushin. So why doesn't it? And the Ramban gives two answers. First of all, Kedushin always comes before Ksuba. Why it is that Masechta Kedushin comes after Masechta Ksubas is a whole other question. We talked about it at the beginning of the Masechta, but... Kedushin is more of a voluntary thing. A person can decide on his own whether he wants to be Mekadosh a certain woman, but once he's Mekadosh, he's Chayev in the Dinim of Ksuba. And also Ksubas has more to do with Yuvamas and there's various other considerations. Anyway, so there's that. And also because the Tana doesn't want to mix it around the different places to Talmidim, after all, they're learning Mishnayos, Baal Peh, and you don't want them to get mixed up. Mishnah says, "Hamakadosh shtei noshim b'shava pruta." What if a man is makadosh two women with one shava pruta? On the face of it, it's not good because you need a pruta for each one. Or isha achas pochs b'shava pruta, or is makadosh one woman with less than a shava pruta? Now, there's not much of a chiddush that there's not a kedushin, but the chiddush is. Even though after the kedushin he sends sivloinus. Sivloinus are gifts that a chosin usually sends his kala. Like this, even nowadays, after a couple gets engaged, then commonly he sends her gifts. By the way, it's talked about. I think they never mentioned in a couple of letters. He should be careful among the things he sends her. He may be sending her jewelry and whatnot. Itaka shouldn't send her a ring, even if it's not like the ring of kedushin, because then you have a question whether maybe kedushin is chal on the base of it. But so here he's sending various other gifts, and those are called sivloinus. So even though he sends l'achamikan, even though he sends sivloinus afterwards, ain't a makudesh, she's still not makudesh. You're going to say you would say maybe he doesn't, maybe he knows that kedushin with less than a pruta are no good, and therefore he's sending the sivloinus having in mind that the kedushin. No, we say it's all based on the original kedushin, and since the original kedushin were no good, then therefore the sivloinus don't count as extra kedushin.
Unless he obviously says
if he says that he's doing it for kedushin, it's different. V'chein cotton shekiddush, the same way if a cotton is Makadish a woman, where that doesn't work. Cotton can't be Makadish. And later on, after he becomes a Godel, he sends Sivloinus. We say the same thing. We don't say that we know that the Kedushin of a cotton are no good, and therefore he's sending Sivloinus to make up for it. So we say the same kind of din, that the same kind of din is not considered Kedushin. And there's discussion among the Achronim. Rabbi Akiva Eger talks about, Machna talks about, do we mean that maybe there's a Suffolk Kedushin? So the Gemara says Utsricha. Now, why do we need to have we have three cases in our Mishnah, where is Makadosh two women with one pruta, where is Makadosh one woman with less than a pruta, and a cotton. So why do we need all three cases? So the Gemara says Utsricha. We need to be told all three cases. The Iyashmin and Shava Pruta. If we talk about the case where he did use a Shava Pruta, but it was two women, you could say, you could say, you know why? Maybe he truly thought it was Kedushin, because after all, he's spending a pruta. He thought maybe the pruta is dependent on the man, not on the woman. Maybe it doesn't have to be that the woman receives a pruta, but rather that he gives a pruta. So then you could say that when he sends the sivloinus, he has no intention of doing Kedushin with it, because he figures he already has a valid Kedushin. But he's makadosh one woman with less than a shava prota. Emel, you would think yedea she'en kedushin tefsin v'pochus m'shava prota. Maybe he should be expected to know that kedushin don't work with less than a shava prota. V'chika m'shader sivloinus adaita the kedushin k'mashader. So when he's sending sivloinus, he has in mind specifically that these should be l'shem kedushin, and therefore we have to be told that it's not. The iashmin and hani tauti. And if the Mishnah, on the other hand, only told us those two cases, you would say, Mishum de Ben Prutal, Apoch Meshava Prutal, like Kim Lula Inchi. People are not always familiar. They don't realize that it means Davka Pruta and no less. He might truly think that the Kedushin are Chal even with less than a Pruta. Av a cotton shekiddush, but when you have a cotton is makadish, you would say a kol yodin shen kedusha cotton klum. Maybe everybody knows the kedushin of a cotton don't count for anything. So maybe he's sending the savoinus having in mind to actually make a valid kedushin for the first time. Therefore, the Mishnah is saying, no, people may not realize that point either. And therefore, he thinks that the kedushin were already chal, and now he's not sending the savoinus l'shem kedushin. He's sending l'mishlem matona stam as a present. And therefore, the kedushin are not valid.
Well, obviously, if the cotton himself knows that.
If the cotton himself knows, and he says, when he's a gadol, I'm sending these for kedushin, and she accepts, then yeah, that's it. Okay, so let's talk more about these dinim of sivloinus. Itmar. Rav Huna amach choshishin l'sivloinus. Suppose that a couple have been talking about getting married. They've been doing what the Gemara calls shiduchim. And they both agreed, and then he sent sivloinus with Aiden. Do we have to be concerned that those sivloinus themselves constitute the kedushin or not? So Rav Huna amar choshishin l'sivloinus. So Rav Huna says we do have to be concerned about that. Maybe he intends to be mekadesh her with those sivloinus. Rabba says the same thing. We do have to be concerned that those sivloinus might be considered kedushin. The nafkamina, of course, would be if somebody else is makadisher, then that other person's kedushin are not chal, or maybe not. Maybe she would need. You would have a suffix. It would be a suffix kedushin, so she'd end up needing. She'd end up needing a get from the first one. Now Rabba says, we said this din choshin l'sivoinus, but we have to ask based on what we said in our Mishnah. We said clearly in the Mishnah that even if he sent sivloinus afterwards, then we're not choshish for it. So why are we saying that now in this case we're concerned about sivloinus? Tosfos, by the way, explains somewhat differently. Rashi had explained, again, we're talking about he talked with her, she agreed to be Mekodesh to him, and now he sent Sivloinus. Tosfos has some questions on that. So Tosfos says when he sent her Sivloinus, maybe we're choshesh that he was previously Mekodesh her. Maybe at some point after having talked it over, he gave her a pruta, and now these Sivloinus are what a chosin sends his kala. If somebody else is Makadisher, there's nothing to talk about. Or do we say maybe he wasn't yet Makadisher, and therefore there's room for somebody else's Kedushin?
Well, that we could ask both of them.
We can ask, but nevertheless, if somebody else, if she willingly accepts a Pruta from somebody else, does that work or not? If she's already an Eishes Ish, if she willingly accepts Kedushin, right, it's not going to work. But if there was no Kedushin yet, that's the point. In other words, Tosfos is saying, not like Rashi, that the question is, do the Sivloinus themselves constitute Kedushin, but is the giving of Sivloinus showing that maybe there was Kedushin beforehand? Anyway, so Rabbi is saying, again, we're saying Choshin Sivloinus, but how does that fit with our mission? Now, obviously, Rabba knew the Mishnah. So he's saying, in other words, we learned from our Rebbeim this way, but we have to wonder, how did our Rebbeim say that, which would contradict the Mishnah? Amale Abaya. So Abaya answers Rabba, Hosim Katani Taima. You know what? In the Mishnah is different, because we say in the Mishnah, because we can say he sent it only based on the original flawed Kedushin. So in other words, in the case of our Mishnah, is different. He thought the Kedushin were already chal, and now he plans to give her only gifts. Here, where according to Rashi, he wasn't Makadisher yet, then we could say he's giving Sivloinus maybe as Kedushin, like you're saying, or like Tosfos says, maybe it demonstrates that previously he was already Makadisher. So therefore, see, your din is valid.
If he's giving out Sivloinus, then he has a say, I would definitely.
That's the question. In other words, in the case of our Mishnah, he did say Hareat Mekodeshesli, but he gave less than a pruta, or he was a cotton. Now we're talking about he's giving Sivloinus. They didn't say, according to Rashi, nothing yet had happened at all. All that happened was they talked about getting married. They talked about, they agreed that we're willing to get married, and then he sent her Sivloinus. The question is, are the Sivloinus themselves Kedushin? According to Tosfos, you'd have to be talking about that. No, the question is, did he previously give her a pruta for Kedushin? So you could say, so the Mishnah doesn't contradict Rav Chista and Rav Huna and Rabba's din, because the Mishnah is talking about a different case where he thought there was a Kedushin and it turns out that not. Here we're talking about, is there a Kedushin, do the Sivloinus themselves constitute the Kedushin, or are they proof of Kedushin? Ekadamri, another version is that the discussion went, Amar Rabba Benoam Minallah, where do I get my din? So in the first version, Rabba is wondering how the Mishnah fits with his din, and Abaye is answering him. In the second version, just the opposite. Rabba says, I can prove my din from the Mishnah. Kidkatani Taima, because the Mishnah gives a reason why we're not choshish for Kiddushin, because there was a flawed Kiddushin of less than a prota. Shemachmas Kiddusha Rishon and Shomach, implying Hocha Hudatoi. Only in this case, he's making a mistake because he thinks that you can make a Kaddish with less than a Shava prota, and it turns out not. Haba Alma have a Kiddushin, implying that in general it would be valid Kiddushin. Rabbaya answers to that, not necessarily. Loy mi boya karma. The Mishnah could be saying one of these needless to say things. Loy mi boya ba'alma, needless to say in the general case, like Rabba is talking about, where he just sends sivloinus, delenoch is the Torah's Kiddushin klal. He's not getting into the whole concept of Kiddushin at all, because he never said harayat mkudeshesli. They agreed they were going to get married, and now he's sending her sivloinus. Ella afilo hocha the nochas the Torah's kiddushin fakert in our Mishnah there's a bigger kiddush where he was getting into kiddushin. He said harayat mekudeshesli. He just did it without a pruta. He did it with less than a pruta. So you would think a mahav kiddushin. Maybe there's valid reason to say that it's kiddushin and the sivloinus make up for the missing pruta. Kamash malon. The Mishnah is saying that no, he still mistakenly thinks that you have a valid kiddushin. And therefore, his sivloinus are not l'shem kedushin, but only l'shem matana. So the Mishnah is saying a bigger chiddush. So it's not that the Mishnah is saying in Rabba's case it would work, or that at least there's a chashash that it would work. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. We would say that in Rabba's case, for sure, it's not going to work. There's no question even that it shouldn't work. And in the Mishnah's case, the bigger chiddush, even though you would think there might be reason for it to work because he's thinking of kiddushin already, nevertheless, it doesn't work. So therefore, the Mishnah might actually contradict Rabba's din, or at least you can't bring the Mishnah as a proof for Rabba's din. So the Gemara says, "My havi Allah, what's the bottom line? What's the halacha as far as this is choshish and the sivonis?" Amar Papa. So the Papa says it really depends. But Asra de Makadshi Vahodim Asabli, in places where the local minag is, first they do Kiddushin, and then the Chosin sends presents, Chayshinan, then we have concern that maybe he means to be Makadisha with these presents. Masabli Vahodim Makadshi, but in a place where first they send Sivloinus, and then they are Makadish, Loy Chayshinan, then we're not concerned for it, because minag amokim is that he can be sending her presents, and there's no Kiddushin yet. So Tosfos discusses over here different gersois and then does that mean let's learn the next piece of Gemara, then we'll talk about the Tosfos. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Kadshi b'hodem sabli pshita." Of course, if they do kiddushin and then sivloinus, if he sent the sivloinus before we know there was a kiddushin, obviously we have good reason to think that he did kiddushin first. So the answer is, "Loitzricha the ruba makadshi b'hodem sabli." The kiddush would be in a place where most people do kiddushin and then sivloinus. Umi ultim sabli b'hodem makadshi. A minority of people do sivloinus first. So now when he sent sivloinus and we don't know there was a kedushin yet, maybe we should be choshish for the miut, and we should say that there are some people who send the presents first, and therefore there's less concern that those are for kiddushin. Therefore, we should be choshish. In other words, for the other person's kiddushin. Kamash malon. Therefore, we're saying that no, he goes like most people in town, and therefore he needs to be makadosh with these matonis. And since most people in this place send sivlonis only after kiddushin, then therefore we have good reason to think that there was kiddushin already. And even though we didn't see it, and therefore, there had to be edim. There had to be edim for kiddushin. But let's say the edim went to Medina Siyam or whatever. Therefore, in other words, we would say that sivloinus demonstrate there was kiddushin beforehand, and therefore there's no room for anybody else's kiddushin.
Yeah, she would know if she was engaged.
She would know, but nevertheless, she could have received money from somebody and she's not sure. Sometimes you have also, we learned in the first parak, you can have a case where, for example, they were discussing matters of Kedushin and then he gives it to her without even saying, Ariat Mekudeshesli, and it works because we assume that they're continuing from their previous conversation. So therefore, so it's not always that there's going to be that Beferush that, yeah. But anyway, so again, Tosfos brings a couple of explanations. We could say when the Gemara asked Pshita, it could mean obviously if he sent Sivlonis before Kedushin, maybe he sent them Lashem Kedushin, or Pshita, maybe that she's already Mekudeshes, because again, like Tosfos's explanation before, Sivlonis always demonstrate that there was Kedushin beforehand. And we're saying that no, you have the Ruiv and the Miut. So we say we're not concerned about the Miut, and then Tosfos discusses that Tosfos discusses a possible other Girsa that Faket, where most people do Sivlonis and then Kedushin, and a Miut do Kedushin and then Sivlonis, maybe we shouldn't be concerned about the Miut and she shouldn't be Mekudesh, and therefore we're saying Chayshin and Lamiota, we are concerned that maybe he's a member of the Miut, and therefore there is a Kedushin, or at least a Suffolk Kedushin. So different gear size. Okay. The Gemara says, Bominate of Acha Barav Huna Me Rava. Rav Acha Barav Huna asked Rava, here's another question. What about if you have people see in the street a man holding a shtauk suba with a certain woman's name in it? Does that show that there was kedushin? Why would he write a suba with her name unless they were mekudesh? Omale, so Rava says, what's the problem? Just because he's holding a shtar with her name, does that mean automatically we should assume if she's an ashes ish? Maybe he wrote the get. Maybe he wrote the maybe he wrote the suba ahead of time.
Everyone writes a suba beforehand.
Well, not long before, but yeah. So my habi Allah, so what's the deal? So in a similar vein, the Gemara says, same thing as we made the distinction between whether people do Sivloinus first or Kedushin first, we have a similar distinction over here. Amravashi, ba'asu de makadshi v'adu kasvi, in places where they do the Kedushin and then they write the Ksuba, v'adu kasvi Ksuba, chayshinan, then we have to be concerned that yes, she is Mekudeshes. But if they first write the ksuba and then they do the kedushin, loy chayshin, and then we don't have to be concerned. Because then, yeah, it's likely that he write the ksuba ahead of time. When you think of it, by the way, nowadays we do the kedushin and the suin together. We write the ksuba beforehand, but we only add the word v'kanena, and we have the edim sign it right before the kedushin. Oh, so the ksuba, maybe the ksuba is written or prepared or whatever, you know, weeks in advance, but they don't actually finish it off until the kinyan is actually done at the kabbal spanim. Anyway, so again, the Gemara says, so what's the Chiddush? V'kadshi v'hadu kasvi pshita. If they do Kiddushin and they write the Ksuba first, isn't it poshut that the fact that he's holding a Ksuba shows that she's Mekudeshes? And the Gemara answers similarly, like we said before. Lo tzricha, the Chiddush is, delo shchech safra. What if a Sofer is not that easy to find? Maud in this place, you have a Sofer, only visits once in a while. Maud tame a safra hu diisrami. You might think the fact that he's holding a ksuba with her name on it doesn't mean that he was already Makadisher. Maybe just because the Sofer happened to be in town and therefore he grabbed the opportunity to have the ksuba written. Kamash Mulan, therefore, Rav Ashi is telling us you don't have to be concerned about that consideration. Nevertheless, because in this place they regularly write the ksuba only after the Kiddushin, then in this case, if it's in a place where they're Makadish and then they write the Ksuba, so then obviously if he's holding a Ksuba, then she's obviously Mekudeshes. You're not going to say maybe because he had the Ksuba pre-written because the Sofer was in town and therefore she's not really Mekudeshes. And again, the nafkamina would be if somebody else is Makadish, or when we say those Kedushin don't take effect, Kamash Malan, therefore we're saying no, because in this place people do the Kedushin and then they write the Ksuba, we have every right to think that this Ksuba was actually written after the Kedushin and therefore nobody else's Kedushin can be Tofus. Okay.